welcome to GSU Panther Zone. We are live, of course, on Blog Talk Radio, and today we're presented by Impact Media. As always, stand-up job they do. Tons of stuff I want to get into. Don't want to keep you guys too long because, I mean, if you guys are with the team, you're already in Orlando, and we'll talk about that in a second. If you're not with the team, maybe you're making plans to go to Orlando like I am. I would actually be down there for the game. If you guys see us at the game, make sure to say hello. We would definitely love to meet you guys. Trust me, if you follow us on social media, you'll know exactly who we are. But, yeah, we're going to talk about the Georgia Southern game first, and we'll get into the reason why they're in Orlando right now, the AutoNation Cure Bowl. First, like I said, I do want to start by talking about, I was going to call it a level up or a game on type thing, but at the same time, who would have thought, besides us, obviously, the diehard fans and the people who actually watch this team, who would have thought at the beginning of the season this team would be not only bowl eligible, but going to a new bowl against a pretty good team? And to finish the way they did, winning four straight at the end, including this game we're about to talk about right now, the win against that team down south, or Georgia Southern, as they call themselves. You guys saw my background picture. 34-7 is the total. That was the total output for their team was the 7. Yeah, I thought. I mean, they're a good team. Just they had no answer for everything we threw at them. Of course, this win did make Georgia State bowl eligible. Like I said, the Cure Bowl is December 19th. That's Saturday. A 7 p.m. Eastern start against San Jose State Spartans. They're not bad either. They're actually one of the three 5-7 teams that are going to make it in to have enough teams in the bowl. So, hey, their game, our game as well. Basically, your Georgia State Panthers dominated on all three fronts. They were able to shut down Georgia Southern's exceptional option run. They do it better than Georgia Tech, honestly. Trust me, I've seen both teams this year. They do it way better than Georgia Tech. Defensively, like I said, our run defense is just exceptional. Just absolutely exceptional. Just awesome. They were able to stifle their every run they tried to do. And since two-thirds of their plays are run, that forced them to pass a lot. We were able to drop back in coverage. Of course, we have two of the best safeties in the country in Bobby Baker and Taris Batiste. I mean, it's literally like having two Willie Mays out there. They're going to catch everything that comes their direction, and you're not going to go past them. As far as offense, we were able to just light them up, just pass after pass after pass. I'll tell you about it. Well, we'll go ahead and get into it now. When we were speaking to quarterback Nick Arbuckle after the game, he informed a couple of us in the media that there was some extra motivation after halftime. And when we didn't really press him, but we kind of gave him a look like, would you like to tell us what that is? He said, I'm not gonna give straight specifics out of respect for Nick, but he said some people from their side, didn't really specify if it was fans, if it was players, if it was coaches, officials, didn't really say, but he said some people from their side were making reference to his family that he didn't necessarily like, and it's a line you don't cross with Nick, and to me it just shows you what kind of person he really is, which is just an absolute just phenomenal human being. But when you cross that line on Nick, he found another gear. We thought he was playing top level. He took over and started making Sunday throws every other play, and it was absolutely great to watch. And that's when they did really turn it on with the second half. And just, it didn't matter. He threw it, the guy was open. He has exceptional receivers, but it did seem like there was some extra motivation. And that's when he said, we asked him when he thought the game was in hand, basically, when they thought they had it. And he said halftime. Because after he heard those particular comments, he looked at the rest of the team and the people he was warming up with and said, they're not winning today. And sure, anybody can make those kind of statements and things like that, but Nick Arbuckle, he makes one of those statements like that, I believe him. I think you guys do too. This was actually the worst home defeat for Georgia Southern in the history of the school. In the history of the school. And, of course, when we mentioned that to some of the players we talked to, it gave them a little bit of a grin. They said, well, that makes it mean that much more than not only was it a big win for Georgia State, not only was it a big win to beat a rival and be bowl eligible, but to hand somebody that's usually as good as Georgia Southern's been in the previous years a defeat like that, the 27-point margin, like I said, the worst home defeat ever in Statesboro. Wow, right? And, of course, Joseph Peterson, I believe it was him, yeah, Joseph Peterson was chasing after their best running back, Brita. Brito is a great running back, and we might see him in the future as far as, you know, maybe playing on a different day. But he was one of their main focuses. He was just starting to get his wheels turning and tried to make too much of a play. Joe Pete was able to put a hit on him and knock him out of bounds, and Mr. Brito's day was done. He injured himself on the play. It was not a dirty hit. In fact, it was barely a glancing blow. So, you know, nothing like that. Even the other coaches said, hey, that kind of stuff happens. But when Brito went out, so did all the wind out of the sails. They were starting to turn the corner, but they could just never – you could tell the plays were designed for him, not for anybody else. They never recovered. They just continued to have issues and never have answers. I talked about Nick's motivation, but the senior class, we talked to a lot of senior class afterwards. It was kind of an unofficial press conference. These are a lot of fun, too. Basically, we were just, you know, as they we let them get settled, let them get comfortable and relaxed, and as they were coming out of the locker room, we would talk to them for a few minutes and you know, some of it on the record, some of it off, and just to see these kids, to know the journey they started with early this season, to see where it's got them to here, and to see the smiles on their faces, and they're having fun, and it means something because their brothers are beside them. It's just, I don't know that there's a more deserving group of kids than the Georgia State Panther football team right now. Coach Miles agreed with us, and we asked him when he thought the game was in hand, and he said, before the game started, he prepared these young men for battle. He felt real good about everything coming in, and even though he thought it might be a little closer, he knew coming out, you know, it was gonna be tough, and it was tough. A lot of the scoring didn't happen until late. But he said he felt like he prepared these guys to win today, and he believed they were going to. So also he mentioned a little tidbit. Or actually, it was mentioned to us. I don't know that he mentioned it. But he mentioned this little tidbit that when he was hired 3 years ago to be the head football coach, the person that hired him said, can we be bowl eligible? Can we be at a bowl in 3 years? And Coach Trent Miles said, I believe we can. Hey, 3 years in, you kept your promise. You kept your promise, Mr. Trent. Let's see. Going over a few things, a few of the bigger play or bigger performances. Tarris Batiste, two interceptions, two tackles for loss. He had a forced fumble and eight tackles. The defense limited Georgia Southern to 203 total yards, and that was 135 rush, which means it was what 60. I'm asking a little rusty there. 68. Passing, 68-yard passing. Their quarterback can throw. They just couldn't find open receivers. Our defense was that good. Southern was actually the nation's top rush attack coming in. Like I said, we kept them to 135 rush yards total. Total. Let's see, 203 yards allowed by Georgia State was the fewest in Georgia State history. Talk about, I mean, just the defense is just unreal. Special teams, they killed them too. No big returns. And we pretty much got good field position almost every other time. 7 points allowed ties the school record for the fewest versus a FBS team. That's Division One. Yeah, that's the fewest. Nick Arbuckle in the second half. How about 11 for 12? Yep, only one ball he threw was not caught, and that means it could have been knocked down. It could have been thrown out of bounds to avoid a sack. Those kinds of things. 11 for 12, 216 yards, two touchdowns, there were four scoring drives because there were a couple rushing touchdowns by Kyler Neal. But the drives were 56 yards, 81, 85, and 87. Now this is sounding like the team from this year, right? These big scoring drives. 4,160 total yards, 26 touchdowns for Mr. Arbuckle on the season. He needs 94 yards to break the Sun Belt season record for passing yards. 94. This could happen in the first quarter. I think it'll definitely happen by the first half. So if you can't be there Saturday in Orlando at 7 p.m. at the AutoNation Cure Bowl, at the Citrus Bowl, if you can't be there, try to tune in. I believe it is CBS SN, which is Sports Network. CBS Sports Network will be covering it. If you can't get that, try to find a feed online somewhere. I'm going to try to check. If I find out of other feed locations, you can, probably GeorgiaStateSports.com. You could probably get a hold of them. Definitely you want to try to watch this. It's going to be a fun one, and it's going to be really, really awesome. They are, I believe, wearing the white jerseys. For all of you guys who know what that means. How about, like I said, four straight wins by Georgia State. First bowl in school history. I'm proud of them. This is not the media biasness because I cover the team. This is not because, they're nice enough to allow us to come cover the team or that they're always nice or hospitable. No, it has nothing to do with this. This is a very deserving group of kids or a very deserving group of young men. A lot of them are bigger than me anyway. Very deserving group of young men that absolutely earned this. I mean, they earned where they're at. And I feel good about their chances. We'll talk about that here in a second. Taurus Batiste is the Auto Nation Defensive Player of the Week. He has been the top defensive student athlete of the week twice in the last 3 weeks. And of course, Nick Arbuckle is the Sun Belt Offensive Student Athlete of the Week. This is the third time this season he has gotten that. Now, told you they're playing against the San Jose State Spartans. They are from San Jose, California. I'm not sure if they have gotten all the way to this yet, but if they haven't played on the East Coast, when they play in Orlando on Saturday, they will have played in five of the six time zones in the U.S. They've played in Hawaii time zone. They've played Pacific, Mountain, Central, and Eastern is going to be the fifth one. So they've traveled a lot this year. They've played some tough teams. We're able to get five wins on. I told you they were 5-7. They've kind of had an up and down season. And just bear with me here. Most of their losses are away. But I'm just going to read off the wins and losses here, right? They go win, and then they go loss, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. Win, loss, lost. Finished the season 5-7. Yeah, they never strung together back-to-back wins. Not that they're not a good team. I mean, they play some pretty tough people. Pretty tough people. I'm not going to discount them at all because, they had to win five, and their RPI score is like through the roof. It's one of the highest in the nation, so that's what helped them be one of the three. I believe they were the first team of the three to be asked to participate in the bowl season. Some things you need to know about the Spartans. They do a balanced attack mostly. They average 232 pass yards a game. They average 181 run a game. For the most part, though, I think they do. It is kind of balanced. They run a lot, but they accent it with passes. Quarterback Kenny Potter was 172 for 251 this year in 10 games. He had 6 interceptions, 14 touchdowns, and threw for 1,895 yards, almost 2,000 yards. Not bad. Half of Nick, but we throw a lot more, remember? Tyler Irvin, Tyler Irvin we'll get to in a minute. Kenny Potter, not bad. Was able to find a little bit of tape on him. Got some good mechanics. Guy can throw when he needs to. Tyler Irvin is the running back. He's the major running back. He had 264 carries for 1,469 yards and 13 touchdowns this year. He also had 44 catches for 337 yards and 2 more touchdowns. So he accounted for a little over 1,800 total yards out of 300 touches and 15 touchdowns. Yeah, he is the Breida of this team. We need to definitely keep an eye on Mr. Irvin. Their top wide receiver is Billy Freeman. Billy Freeman had 47 catches for 581 yards this year. He had 6 touchdowns. Got pretty good hands. As far as their other big pass catcher, that is Tim Crawley. He had 39 catches for 424 yards, 5 touchdowns. So there's 11 between them. 13 if you add Tyler Irvin. As far as the defense, linebacker Christian Tago. Hope I'm saying that right, Tago. I apologize, Christian. He has 117 tackles, a sack. He had a block kick and 9 tackles for loss. Guy's a beast. It's okay. I think we got something for him. Safety Maurice McKnight had 95 tackles. Yep, between the two of them, that's over 200 tackles. He had 95 tackles, 4.5 tackles for loss, 2 forced fumbles, and an interception. Not bad for a safety, right? Defensive end Eugene Taylor had 13 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, and 3 sacks on the year. Not bad. We're going to have to do something about Eugene. I think he likes to swap sides, too, so we're going to have to keep an eye on which side he's on. And, of course, here's 3 other corners. They got good corners. Jimmy Pruitt had 3 interceptions for a total of 56 return yards, and he ran 1 back for a score. Cleveland Wallace also ran 1 of his 3 back for a score, 72 total yards for him. And then Andre Chasher, I believe is how you say his name, but I mispronounced it. Sorry, Andre. Didn't have a pronunciation key on there. But he had an interception as well. So these guys are no slouches. No slouches at all. But when we got Robert Davis, Donovan Harden, Penny Hart, Kyler Neal, Nick Arbuckle, Glenn Smith. I'm not worried in the least bit. Those are just names right off the top of my head. You guys know these guys. I could name any of these guys. Then you go on the other side. Like I said, how about, to me, the best safety duo I've just seen in Taurus Batiste and Bobby Baker. How about Alonzo McGee, Mackenzie Cheridor, Joseph Peterson? Caleb Ringer, Chandon Sullivan. Jerome Smith. I mean, literally, I could Taz Bateman, who's going to be back. Marcus Caffey. I could go down this list. I could name anybody on there. Bruce Deuce has made plays. Everybody on this team has made a contribution to make this team where they are. And, of course, we can't forget about the kicker and punter, Mr. Will Lutz. He was booming kicks on Saturday. Last Saturday, he was just unreal. Just unreal what he can do with the football with it by kicking it. I mean, any of those guys. Who knows who's going to be the star of the game? Why can't they all be? This is very possible. Very possible. And apparently the phones are ringing off the hook here. All kinds of updates coming in from the Cure Bowl. We are getting to those just as soon as we can. So if you're from the Cure Bowl and you're calling right now, we will get to you just as soon as we can. We'll try not to keep you on hold too long. But something we do here on Impact Media that we do on other shows, but I wanted to do it on this, and it's called the Impact Media Diamond Mine. And it means there's something that people, maybe a player people don't know about, maybe something people don't know about that we're going to, you know, it's like mining a diamond. So without further ado, let's go to the Impact Media Diamond Mine.
It's about time that I find a diamond. It's about time that I mine a diamond. It's about time that I find a diamond. Hope the diamond doesn't mine where to mine it.
All right, you guys want to know the diamond that we're going to mine. I can tell you right now, the person that I think is going to be the guy that, it, you know, a lot of people, you're trying to wonder, the guy you maybe haven't heard of that's going to step up and make a huge impact. I tell you right now, since he's been hurt all year, I'm going to say it right now, because a lot of people haven't got a chance to see him play. By far, you need to go see this guy play. The diamond we're going to mine today, number 25, Kyler Neal, the running back. He's a redshirt sophomore from, actually, my hometown. That's not why I picked him. But if you watch Kyler Neal, he is a bruiser back. He also has some speed. I think Nate's going to throw up some a lot of great, you know, numbers. I think Nick's probably going to have two or three touchdown passes, you know, to different receivers, but I think Kyler Neal is going to be the difference maker. I really think it's going to be Kyler. He's going to be able to power something in where we take a lead. Maybe he does it out of the gate. Who knows? But that's the diamond I'm mining for this week. And I hope you guys like that segment. We're going to try to use that a little bit more.
It's about time that I find a diamond. It's about time that I mine a diamond. It's about time that I find a diamond. Hope the diamond doesn't mine where to mine near. Diamond, diamond, I'll mine the diamond. Diamond, diamond, if I could find one. Diamond, diamond, I'll mine the diamond. Hope the diamond doesn't mine where to mine it.
And of course, remember, anytime you mine a diamond, don't touch it with your hand, it'll disappear. I don't think they'll be able to put a hand on any of our diamonds anyway. Now, let's go to my three keys for victory. My three keys for victory on how we're going to win the Cure Bowl on Saturday in Orlando at the AutoNation Cure Bowl. I said Cure Bowl twice, but it's that important because it's about breast cancer. You guys should get involved and try to help out with that, even if you can't make it to the game. But, like I said, 7 p.m. in Orlando at the AutoNation Cure Bowl. How are the Georgia State Panthers going to defeat the San Jose State Spartans? I'm going to tell you. We're going to shut down their run game, including Tyler Irvin. It's going to start and begin with him. We know it is. We're going to shut down Tyler Irvin. I think we keep him under 80 yards. I'm going to go and say, I don't know, I'm going to say we're going to keep him at 73 yards. 73 yards. He might get a touchdown, but yeah. Second thing we're going to do, you guys know where I'm going with this, right? I could go one of two ways. I could go establish the run early. I could go air it out. How about we do both? How about we establish the run early and air it out at the same time in a great balance so that they don't know what we're going to do and that people like Glenn Smith and Taz Bateman and Kyler Neal, the diamond that we just mined, that those guys end up with great rush days, maybe rush touchdowns, and we're going to air it out and make sure that, hey, Glenn Smith, get out of the backfield as well. They all are. Make sure that Donovan Harden catches one. Make sure that, hey, you get a touchdown, and you get a touchdown, and you get a touchdown. Touchdowns for everybody. How about we do that? We'll call it Touchdown Saturday. Georgia State Touchdown Saturday is what we're going to call that. And the third thing we're going to do, I would say have fun, but, you know, we're going to have fun. The third thing we're going to do, we're going to win the special teams battle. Why? Because we got a great coverage team now. We got the right connection of people. Everybody's going to be hyped up for it and everything, but we're not going to give up any big returns. And we're going to have a couple big returns of our own to set up great plays. But also, we're going to win the special teams battle because we have Will Lutz, one of the best kickers and one of the best place kickers in college. I have faith in Will. You guys have faith in Will. Will, if you're listening, we're behind you, buddy. It'll be good to see you, and I can't wait to see you guys perform at the Cure Bowl. And that's going to do it for me this week. I appreciate you guys tuning in. We will have a show next week, and then we'll let you guys know the schedule from there on out because, you know, the next sport we would cover after football, of course, would be baseball and beach volleyball, which is still a couple months away. But trust me, we're not going anywhere yet. We'll let you know next week for the season recap. Who knows who might call in or drop in for that one? You never know. But for Impact Media, I'm Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you guys next week. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio. Go Panthers. See you in Orlando.